morning the Lord give us. I want to share a few things tonight. And don't know why the devil's battling me so about preaching this message tonight, but maybe it'll be a help. That's always a good sign, it'd be a help to somebody. But I ask that you'd pray for me, that God would reel my mind into this thing where I need to be in my heart tonight. Don't want to be distracted. Old devil loves to distract us, don't he? Well, if you enjoyed the young and singing, say amen tonight. Isn't that a blessing to know to still be some can sing those songs when we're gone on to glory? The Lord tarries. I personally really don't think that they'll be doing a lot of singing here. They're going to be doing a lot of singing there. I believe the Lord's soon to come. And I believe that with all my heart. But tonight, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16, verse 32. The Bible said, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And then in Proverbs chapter number 25 and verse number 28, it's sort of a parallel verse goes along with this tonight. There Solomon is writing, he says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Thank you for standing tonight. Father, I pray You'd help us these few minutes. Lord, I sure do need Your help tonight. My mind is very distracted. I pray You'd help me with the Word of God tonight. We sure do need You. Thank You for the blessing of these children singing tonight. Thank You for that. Thank You for these songs. Thank You for Your Word. Help us now with Your Spirit, and we'll be grateful in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Then Proverbs 25:28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls." Tonight I want to preach on this subject on ruling your spirit. Ruling your spirit. Now, notice there is the option of it. In verse 28 of 25, he says, "He that hath no rule." That lets me know that we have an option there, that we can have a rule about our spirit. And then there is not only the option of it, there's the obstacle of it. The Bible says that who hath no rule over his own spirit. Now, a lot of times I think I can help you with your spirit, but there is an obstacle. I've got one. So there's an option of it. "He that hath no rule." He says, you know, you've got an option. You can rule your spirit. And then the obstacle of it. And then there's the opposition of it in chapter 16, verse 32, where the Bible says that ruleth his spirit. There's an opposition about an ongoing process that ruleth. Wouldn't it be a blessing that you could just walk out of this church and all week long have total control of your spirit? And then the opportunity of it. He said in chapter 16, verse 32, "Why, he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Now, he says there's an opportunity that if you could learn to rule your spirit, you'd be a lot better off than capturing a city all by yourself. Now, tonight we're looking at the importance of self-control. We live in a world out of control. My goodness, this, you know, the government's out of control. I mean, it wouldn't make me, it wouldn't upset me near as bad about paying my taxes if they was using it for something. Filling some of these potholes you can throw a hog in the road. But you know, they just put it in a hog and holler suey. And the government's out of control. You know, the Democrats and Republicans, they just fighting and barking at each other. And the Bible says if the house is divided, well, it cannot stand. And we know our government's out of control in their spending and in their formulas and their formats and their values. Man, it's unbelievable how out of control our government is. You know, our children is out of control. It's bad that children run mom and daddies. That's a sad time in our country and in our city and even in our church. It's a bad time when a young'un's going to dictate to mom and daddy if they're going to go to church or not. Children's out of control. Our society's out of control. I seen a little clip the other day, you know, surfing on TV. Girls gone wild. Well, don't take you long to figure out our society's out of control. Some of them even had a funnel and a hose pipe pouring liquor down one of them's throat. It's amazing how our society's out of control. Killing babies by the thousands. And man, nothing, you know, folks can just shack up no more and they don't no more blush at nothing. Amen. And let me tell you something. God still says adultery's wrong. And we live in a society that homosexuality now is accepted. Man, our society's out of control. Let me tell you, young people, homosexuality is an abomination before God, and it's not all right to be participating in such things. Our workplace is out of control. Boy, ain't it amazing, in the state of Georgia, by the book, you can lay out 3 days and not even call in before they can have access and grounds to fire you. Used to, when I was in the workforce, and they'd lay out and they'd say, well, they ain't even called in. I'd say, well, fire them. They'd say, well, you can't fire them. They ain't wrote up 9 times. I'd love to have seen that foreman when I was about 13 years old, didn't show up to that hay crew on every morning. I tell you what he'd have done. He'd have replaced me, friend. Yep. Boy, our job place is out of control. You know, it is amazing how out of control we are. But here the Bible talks about us ruling our spirit. We need to get control. I want to say, now this thing of getting control of our spirit, we better be learning to get control of a troubling spirit. You know, don't let any little event or any little change just rock your world. I looked up this word trouble, and it means a source of difficulty. It's an event causing stress or pain. It's a strong feeling of anxiety, this thing of trouble. You know, Paul was writing in 2 Thessalonians, and there were some people there that had a troubled spirit. And if you're not careful, there's a troubled spirit to come marching right into your life and rock your world. Let me tell you something. Trouble comes to everybody. The Bible said, man that is born of woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. And just because you serve God don't mean that you won't have trouble. But aren't you glad you got somebody that'll be in your trouble with you tonight? And boy, these Thessalonians was having trouble. Matter of fact, somebody had passed a false letter that Christ had already returned. So they said in 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse number 2, Paul says, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Verse 5. is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it's a righteous thing of God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. He says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of His calling, fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Tonight, we better get control of a troubling spirit, or it will so downtrodden us. I mean, it'll steal your shout. It'll steal your vision. It'll steal your voice. And boy, how we need to be able to understand how to rule our spirit. My goodness, a lot of times we have no walls about us. And boy, when trouble comes, it marches right in and takes over to us. I can look around at some of you tonight and you're so full of trouble. Well, I'm glad what Jesus said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. That means it's an option. My heart don't have to be weighted down with the cares and the surfeitings of this world and this life. Thank God for the promise of a better day that's coming. So there's an importance of self-control about our spirit. There is a troubling spirit. You know, a lot of times we listen to Fox News too much. My dad-in-law, bless his heart, he's a precious, precious person. But, you know, a lot of times he just sits in that chair and CNN don't tell you about nobody getting saved, nobody getting right. They just tell you about all the bad things and the Fox News and boy, they just pump it into him all day long, all day. And if you just sit there and watch TV all day, you're going to be so full of negatives. Hey, you're not going to have enough spirit about you to even raise your head. Hey, let me tell you, you don't have to see the news to realize the economy's bad. For every job you want to walk out of, there's five waiting to take it over tonight. My goodness, but let me tell you something, honey. God runs things. The economy don't run heaven. Heaven runs the economy. My goodness, be careful to keep that wall up on a troubling spirit. Matter of fact, Paul said something in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. He said this, let this mind be in you. You say, well, preacher, I've got a big problem letting my mind. Boy, I do too. I've got a big problem. A lot of times my mind gets locked down just on my trouble. But we've got to learn to be able to rule our spirit. Boy, how many times have you come in the house of God full of trouble and trodden down, and the devil have you looking at everything that's wrong and not right? It would do us good to look on things that are right tonight. Our Bible's right. The Spirit of God's right. Jesus is right. The church is right. And if He be for you, who can be against you? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So there is a troubling spirit. Number two, be careful, and because there is a tempting spirit. Better be careful to keep a wall up around our spirit and rule our spirit, not to let this tempting spirit take over. I mean, buddy, I'm going to tell you, this tempting spirit, it'll just march right on in and take over, will it not? Now, in Matthew 26 and verse number 40, talking about this tempting spirit, boy, how many times we are tempted. You think, well, once you get saved, you won't be tempted. No, I think you're tempted more. Tempting. Matthew 26 and verse number 40. There the Bible says, and he cometh unto the disciples, Jesus did, and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Young ladies, watch your flesh. Cover your flesh. Young men, watch your flesh. Kill your flesh. Married couples, watch your flesh. Grandpa, grandma, watch your flesh. You say, how old you got to be before you ain't got no flesh? You got to ask somebody older than me. Hey, Brother Donald, you got any flesh problem? I thought you did. I'll answer it for you. 80-something year old, I guarantee he got some flesh problem. You know why? Because the day we got saved, God didn't save our flesh. Saved our spirit and our soul. And so Jesus said, you better watch, because the spirit indeed's willing. The spirit wants to do right. But boy, that flesh is weak. And then we find in James 1 and verse number 12 about ruling our spirit, and we better keep this wall up to protect us from this tempting spirit. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 12, there the Bible says this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised unto them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. By the way, I looked up the definition for temptation. And I thought they'd done a pretty good job. It said it's the desire to have or do something that you know you should avoid. Is that talking to anybody tonight? The desire to have or do something that you know you should avoid. Now he said, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 9. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 9. Ruling your spirit. Now look what he says. I've heard this a lot of times. Boy, I'd love to win the lottery and become a millionaire. Well, I'm going to give you two notations of that. Number one, you ought to not be buying no lottery ticket. You ought to be putting that money in the church plate. Somebody say amen right there. You're not gambling tithing. Watch what it says. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, but the love of money, is the root of all evil. Money make people act crazy. You ever know anybody died and left an inheritance and kids went crazy? That's why me and Miss Renee are going to try to spend everything so my youngins don't fight over nothing. Amen. That's great. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to fish and shoot all of my money up. Amen. The love of money is the root of all. Anyway, Macy done told me I better really like bingo. Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You may not want to be as rich as you think you want to be. You might ought to thank God of where you are tonight. Because, honey, with great things come great responsibility. Tempting spirit. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. There hath no temptation. Let's get verse 12. I like that. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Scares me to death to think where I could be one day without the grace of God. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Let me tell you something, boys. You got saved. Why, sure, you'll still want to get a drink of something sometime. That's flesh. But don't shut down on me now. Don't get too righteous on me. You know you got some temptations hanging out there someplace that bothers you that you still want to be a part of. But he says, listen, said it's there's no temptations taking you but such as common to man. In other words, everybody's facing it. But God, I like that. I'm glad we got something nobody else has got in the world. But God, and by the way, the reason the world acts like the world, that's the only way they can act. They ain't got the God living in them, me and you got. But God is faithful. Boy, isn't he faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, let me tell you something. If a TV remote control gets you in trouble, guess what? If you'll mash it again, the arrow will go up or down. That's a way to escape. If your computer is getting you in trouble, there's an off button there. Amen. And if you're going into a convenience store and lottery is one of your vices or the Budweiser or whatever, then change where you're going. But temptations are common to all of us. But he said, let me tell you something. When you're trapped into a temptation and you're gathered in a temptation, don't you blame God. Don't blame nobody but yourself because He's given you a way to get out of it. We blame things on everybody. We ought to point the finger at us and say, it wasn't your fault, it's my fault. It ain't the world's fault, it ain't even the devil's fault. It's my fault. God gave me a way to get out of that mess and I didn't get out of it. Quit blaming it on everybody. That's just like a marriage gone bad. It's your side, his side. It's your side or her side, and then it's the truth. You didn't like that, but I enjoyed preaching it. Because it's the truth. I like what Brother Cantrell said. Everybody's always want folks to co-sign. Preacher, don't you think this is right? No, I think the Bible's right. And I think we're weak and we need the Lord. There is a tempting spirit. We ought to rule our spirits, that those temptations not overcome us. And be careful to say that you're bulletproof and you won't. I mean, it wouldn't take me 2 weeks. I'd be back doing two cans of Copenhagen a day. I would love to get me a big dip of Copenhagen tonight. My Lord, it's just something about that first spit. You know, when you spit, it's just... That ain't some of y'all. Well, look at me like I'm crazy. I'm just telling you, that's a temptation to me. And so, we need to remember we're human and we're not bulletproof. Some of you young couples better be careful about the couples you're running around with. Amen. Some of these old boys out buying you chicken, he'll steal your wife if you ain't careful. Amen. Tempting spirit. It's a desire to have or do something you know you should avoid. Boy, how many times have I gotten in trouble and I know I should have avoided it? Have you ever done something you wish to the Lord in heaven you could do it over again? Boy, I've got a bunch of them. Troubling spirit, temptation spirit. But then, you know, we can get caught up in a thankless spirit. A thankless spirit to just walk right in. If we don't have a fence up ruling our own spirit, we'll become unthankful. We ought to thank God. He said we ought to thank Him for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18. The Bible says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's the will of God that we'd say thank. Every time we come in this church house, we ought to say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done to me and done for me by your amazing grace." You say, "Well, preacher, I don't have much." Well, look at what you do have. And thank God for it. That old thankless spirit. And then there's a tongue wagging spirit. Anybody got a problem with an old hateful mouth? I thought two of you did. James 3 and verse number 5. We ought to be able to rule our spirit. Sometimes there's something I've noticed about this spirit. It's either coming up on us or coming up in us or coming out at us. And a lot of times, not only do these spirits come at us, they come out of us. We got to be able to learn to rule our spirit. I mean, you ever find yourself rolling the window down at somebody that's acted stupid? I know none of y'all got no problem. The other night we thought we'd got an early start on going out to eat, and I was sitting there in the parking lot and Megan was driving and a woman just sitting there, and it was her turn to go and she just kept us sitting there. And she has done over in our turning lane. We couldn't even turn in. And I mean, I done stood it about all I could take it, about 13 seconds, you know. Not over that. Man, I done rolled my window down. I know none of y'all got no problem with that. Boy, I do. You know, it is just, can't we act goofy? That old tongue wagging spirit. James 3 and 5, look what the Bible says. "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things, but hold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." You know something? They used to tell us, and the boys, listen, if you're going to smoke, You go out yonder someplace, but don't you go in that barn and go smoking. Because if you do, you're going to catch something afire. Just a little flicker in a straw pile will set the whole thing afire. That's the way our tongue is. The tongue is a fire in verse 6. A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Verse 8, the tongue can no man tame, but God can. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made out of the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessings and curses, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. You know, a lot of times a fire would go out if we'd take a log off of it. Proverbs 26, and verse number 20. The Bible says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Boy, a lot of times you couples, you done live with each other long enough to know you want to get the last say in. That last say a lot of times has made me miss a lot of good homemade biscuits. Just because I wanted to say something goofy. You know, I want to have the last say. Sort of like that woman all the time. Well, you know, one thing about Garmin, praise God, I got a switch on there, I can turn her off. Somebody say amen with that. We need a switch on us like that. People just reach up and just turn us off. Boy, it'd help us, wouldn't it? Yang Yang, isn't that something? How childish. Honey, I don't believe in women preachers. But you had a great quote to me this morning. Can you remember what you told me? I'll say it. Never argue with an idiot because sometimes people can't tell the difference. But I'm right, and I'm going to say it. Well, wouldn't it be a blessing if we could learn to control that spirit? I wonder how many people in our church we've hurt because we've let our tongue wag out of control. I wonder how many families have been tore apart because we had to have the last say and should have been kind. Boy, I wonder how many blessings we've missed because we just had to have the last word. Has anybody ever noticed that maybe at home and you're having a interesting conversation and all of a sudden your wife goes out the door and closes the door? And all of a sudden you open the door and you get the last word in. There was your way to escape. I'm not preaching to anybody tonight. Boy, that old tongue wagging spirit. God, help us with our tongue. And then lastly tonight, that old temper spirit. Anybody deal with temper? Boy, I tell you, when God made me, He poured a jar in me. Some of y'all think He just give you a few drops. Some of you, I don't even think you got a drop. I mean, you just let anybody run over you. But you know, I've noticed this. A lot of time, a temper spirit, and this is the last thing, it's about jealousy. It's amazing how jealous we are. I mean, honestly. A lot of times we have this temper spirit on us that takes over. Boy, it comes in, just gets everything out of kilter. Because we've not ruled in our spirit. And when we feel this temper flaming in us out of this jealousy, we ought to realize what it is and put it back to sleep. Now, Matthew 18:1. You say, well, preacher, I have no problem with jealousy. Well, that's wonderful. Some people do. And in Matthew 18, and I can tell you this, down in there someplace, it's probably some jealousy in there. And in Matthew 18 and verse number 1, the disciples had a problem with it. At that same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, why did they want to know that? Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst. Now look in Luke 22:24. Luke 22:24. Disciples want to know who was the greatest. Well, here's what their problem was. Luke 22:24. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. It was a strife amongst the disciples. Who's the greatest? Who's the best preacher? Who's the best singer? Who's the best Christian? Who's the best banana pudding maker? I told folks the other night, I was preaching. I said, one thing about a pastor, you got so many ladies that love you and they'll cook 9 banana puddings and they come by and they say, preacher, did you taste of my banana pudding? And so you get to taste all 9 banana puddings. You see, jealousy is a terrible thing. Matter of fact, maybe the reason that you're jealous, you may have the wrong motive. In Philippians 2:3, boy, it's a powerful verse. Philippians 2. Verse number 3. Watch. Maybe if you've got a problem with jealousy, it's because you have a wrong motive in what you're doing. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's not a competition. Not a competition. You see, I've never been jealous of nothing that was behind me. I doubt if you have ever been jealous of anybody behind you, but I'm sure you've probably been jealous of some people that was ahead of you. You've never been jealous over an old rust bucket Pinto. But you may got jealous over a new ride somebody pulled up in. Jealousy. Boy, it loves to raise its head. Matter of fact, with Eliab, David's eldest brother, remember, he come up at the battle of the Philistine and David comes up to fight him and Eliab, David's eldest brother, cried and he said, what are you doing here? And who have you left them few sheep with? David said, is there not a cause? A lot of times, the eldest can have a bad spirit about the younger. And this is what amazes me about people that are jealous. The only reason they're jealous of somebody is because they won't do it theirself. Well, why are you cooking all the meal? Because you won't cook the meals. Well, why are they singing? Because you won't sing. Why are they testifying? Because you won't testify. It's not a competition. You see, Saul and David, boy, watch it. One of the greatest illustrations in the Bible I've ever seen, the last place I go. 1 Samuel 18, I want to show you this tonight. One of the greatest illustrations. 1 Samuel 18. and verse number 6. Came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands. Boy, that sounded good though, Saul, till they got down to the chorus. And David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they've ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they've ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Be careful about a jealous spirit. You know, you probably never got jealous over nobody staying in a one-room shanty. But you may got jealous of somebody in a nice house, lots of room and nice things. But you might could have that too if you wanted to pay $4,000 a month for it. You might could drive a nice car too if you want to pay $750 a month for one. When God's blessing somebody, praise God about it. Thank God for it. I wish every member in Liberty Baptist Church, if they wanted to, could drive a new Mercedes. Amen, I do. Thank God. There's nothing wrong with having things. Just don't let things have you. And boy, when you see somebody pull up and they're enjoying the fruits of their labor, don't squash them with, I bet they'll never pay for that. I bet that goes back. Either y'all tired or you're really listening real good. Yeah. Boy, you know, a lot of times I can get here and preach here, seems like most all of my life. Brother Mike, a new preacher come in, preach the same thing. I've been preaching 17 years. They say, my God, I ain't never heard nothing like that. I come up under a preacher who was jealous of me. He wouldn't let me preach because he was jealous. He told the church he was jealous. I'm not jealous of preachers. Praise God. I wish I could have a man filled with fire every time we could. I want the best I can find to preach to this congregation. I know there's men can preach to me on the table. I have no problem with that. The same God lets them preach, lets me preach. And He uses them different. That's why it's red cars and black. I got no reason to be jealous over a man. I got no reason to be jealous over a man that's getting more meetings than I get. That's God's business. Sometime, Brother David will call on somebody singing. You'll think, well, why ain't I singing? Right there's why. That's exactly why. Why ain't I preaching? That's exactly why you ain't preaching. Let's sing that song again. Why ain't I singing? That's why you ain't singing. God knows your heart. God don't want you to have no jealous spirit. These kids up here singing, probably as slick as the devil is, he'd probably have some of y'all to say, well, that wasn't too good to sing because that ain't my grandbaby. Well, wait till your grandbaby gets up. We'll shout over them. Just thank God He's using somebody's grandbaby. Amen? Boy, we better learn to be able to rule our spirit. How many times have we got in trouble if we could have just ruled our spirit? God help me as the pastor at this wonderful church just to be able to rule my spirit. You know what would be a blessing if a phone call would come and it wouldn't just destroy my whole day? Rule my spirit. We have an option. Okay, how do we do it? Well, first of all, we've got to put something in us. And I've said this 150 times. I used to say it just being a smart aleck, but I believe it tonight. If we had our face in this book as much as we do on Facebook, I bet we could rule our own spirit better than how we rule. If you'll put up with hours at your own line, on computer, on Facebook, and you match it up to how much you've had your face in this book, I wonder what outweighs. And we wonder why we can't rule our spirit. How many times do we find ourselves praying? Did anybody go to their altar this morning before they come to church and pray? Boy, that's the only way we're going to rule our spirit, is to let a spiritual fence get around us that little things just don't rock us off our feet. Appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us. I do appreciate you being here. You know, the book of Proverbs got some